Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family. My name is Lee, this is Sam, and just when you thought, Sam, you could call the Pep team, just when you thought it might have been settling down
you
a little
can't
bit,
ever.
Just when you thought Cancelo was nailed on because
no,
he's playing
no,
so well,
no,
just
no,
when you
no.
thought Sterling was playing well,
no.
The Pep roulette is coming back with a vengeance. With a vengeance, Sam. What a funny game week.
I genuinely think Pep does it for a laugh.
He does, yeah. Especially a game like this. He's like, right, I know, all those FPL managers, with Cancelo, with Sterling, with John Stones.
He's like secretly like 10th in the world, Pep. And he basically looked at all the people above him and went, Cancelo, Sterling, you're benched.
He's got Stones, that guy's got Stones. Laporte, get in. But we did say, I don't know.
I did say that.
I did say last week. He came out, didn't he, Pep, after the FA Cup, and he said, I'm trying to give Laporte minutes. And I was like, why is he trying to give Laporte minutes?
Do you know?
I still think that's his main man.
On Friday night, we went to bed, and I so nearly, didn't I? Before I turned off the light, it was like 11:30, and because you all know my rule about no chances on the day.
Yeah.
And I so nearly took a -4 for Cancelo. So close.
You did, to be fair, you were very close to that.
And I was talking to you about it before we turned the lights out, and I was like, no, can't do it.
It's not worth a hit.
I don't feel in my gut I should do it. And then he benches him, and I was like, that is a bullet dodged.
Well, speaking of taking hits, I've taken, guys, and we'll talk about our teams as we get towards the end of the stream and how we're getting on and over ranks and all that. Want to hear how you guys are getting on as well. Post your scores in the live chat. Want to see those big scores this week. Hopefully you've got one. Talking about -4s, I've done, potentially, the worst -4 of my season so far. Absolute shocker.
You wanted to hear Lee this afternoon.
Absolutely ruined my game week. Absolute shocking. It's taken what could have been a pretty good game week to an absolute stinker. And those of you that are following my team or following me on Twitter, wherever else, will know what that move was. Nehal, thank you for the super chat, Nehal. He's in early doors.
Is he pointing it out?
He's saying he's literally crying. Accidentally got Bamford out instead of Adams for Calvert-Lewin.
How do you accidentally do that?
Sound familiar?
Right. How do you accidentally do that? You?
I accidentally did that.
You did not. You made a deliberate choice.
I tell you the moment I decided to do Bamford rather than Adams,
I've told you for weeks to take Adams out. Why have you still got him?
Well, Nehal, by the way, has got 51 points, which actually is better than I'm doing, frankly.
No, it can't be.
I'm having a stinker because of that. The moment I decided it was Bamford and not Adams, I don't know why I didn't just do it. I got the money in the bank. It's not a money thing, but I was on the FPL show last Thursday, FPL show. It was a late one, right? It was a late one. So what happened was we got in front of the big screen. Gianni and I were standing there. We were talking about Kane replacements and why you should be going budget.
Right.
And there was a graphic on the screen about Bamford game weeks 1 to 10 and 10 to 20 and how he's regressed in his XGs, much worse, all the rest of it.
Was there a graphic about how rubbish Shea Adams is generally?
He wasn't even on the...
Right, that's the point, isn't it?
Shea Adams didn't even feature. He's that bad. He didn't even feature.
But he's still in your team.
And I looked at that Bamford graphic and I was like, yeah, he's massively regressed. He's regressed beyond belief.
But Shea
he's
Adams.
No good. Leeds look tired. And
but
I
Shea
said,
Adams.
I know. But so I got it back in the car. I drove home, half an hour home, got in at like 1:30 in the morning because it was like a late show. And I thought, Bamford going down tonight. Shall I do it? Shall I not? And I did it. I did Bamford to DCL on Thursday night. What a... almost swore there. What a stinker. What a stinker.
And actually, this is why we ended up not doing a
It did deserve a swear word, that. Well, that is a terrible, terrible
We might have done a swear watch along tonight, but to be honest, my language has not been FPL family rated during that Spurs game.
I'm sure the guys would like to hear the Insta reaction to that Spurs game. We'll get into the games, guys, a bit more. We'll talk about all of the games this game week. But go on then. Not good, eh? Not good. Where was the spark without Harry Kane? You missed his... Actually missed his creativity.
What did
as
I
much
say
as anything.
To you before
you
the
did.
Game?
Yeah.
What did I say to you?
Probably.
I said,
absolutely
we will really struggle in this game.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Not the goals. The goals are... look, I mean, it's Harry Kane is a goal scorer, right? The goals are important. Excuse me.
Do you want water?
No, I'm
got right. Your cup of tea and everything.
I need a gin.
Where's the taboo? Get it out.
Where is the taboo?
It needs to come out.
It's not even the goals. It's his presence. And I know that sounds really...
Tonight showed you absolutely that he brings everything to that team.
And you,
leadership,
and I said
creativity,
to you, I need the other thing I nearly, very nearly did this week was take a -4 to take Son out. And I've been thinking about that all week. As soon as that Harry Kane injury happened, I was like, get rid of Son. Don't need either of them. Son will not perform without Kane.
Thoughts on Son going forward then in your FPL team?
Son will not perform without Kane. The one thing I will say is, and I said this to you during the game, normally when Harry Kane's injured, you get some sort of message from him.
Yeah.
I'll be back, you know, I'll work hard, whatever. Nothing. Zero.
So what's the comms coming out of Spurs? Nothing then?
Nothing.
What's the rumour?
Nothing.
About the Harry Kane injury?
Nothing.
So for me, that says, and let's get into it a bit more in a bit, but for me, that says it's either nothing and he's back for Chelsea, or it's something and he's out for a while.
The fact that Mourinho came out after the Liverpool game and said 2 weeks.
Really?
How do you know it's 2 weeks at that point? He's not had a scan or anything. The fact that
he did walk off, he was weight bearing, wasn't he?
He played the second half. I mean, there was a good 10-15 minutes after that knock where he played on. So I don't know. And that, of course, affects your decision making with Son as well. I know some managers' bench came for this weekend on the wait and see, and I kind of feel like we've got to do that with Son as well. But the trouble is, the game week deadline's in 2 days.
Yeah, you've not got any time to talk about it. And of course, it's Chelsea up next, who have started pretty well under Tuchel, certainly defensively pretty well. Looking at that Spurs performance tonight, I don't see you
woeful
getting past that Chelsea back line, I'll be honest. But anyway, a very good win for Brighton. Couldn't believe it when I heard the stat, but that was their first home win of the season. Incredible.
Look,
and first clean sheet.
However woeful we are, that doesn't take anything away from Brighton. They were really good today. They deserve the win.
Very good. Very good. All right, we'll talk a bit more about the games
as we
go through. And I particularly want to talk about Liverpool are back, boys and girls. Liverpool are back. What a performance. That was two games in London where, frankly, I would have been very happy to get 2 to 4 points, to be honest with you. But listen, 6 points out of those two is sensational. It's Brighton at home now in midweek before the big game, which is City next weekend. And I'm starting to feel like I'm in a bit of a better mood going into that game. I still think we've got a lot to do to beat City, don't get me wrong. But now back-to-back home games against Brighton and City. The Klopp and Milner thing was brilliant. And I'll tell you why, for the neutral, that was like, oh, that's funny. Yeah,
funny.
Good on them. But for me, it meant a lot because there in a moment was last season. Last season was, if you could wrap up the feeling in last season and sell it, you'd win the league to whoever you sold it to every single. The feeling amongst the team and the squad was incredible. And we haven't had that feeling recently. And the Klopp and Milner thing today, and you guys that saw it, you can tell me what you think in the live chat. Get in the comments below. What did you think of that moment where Milner gets hauled off and he has I wouldn't say it's a row, but Ian Klopp have words, don't they?
It's a bit of a row.
He's obviously not happy to come off.
Milner looked at Klopp like...
He's like, what are you doing?
Like he was telling him, like, he almost looked like the father figure telling Klopp off by the look he was giving him.
Yeah, and Milner's giving Klopp a look, and Klopp's like, no, arm round him. And Milner's like, not putting his arm round him. It's a bit frosty. Anyway, Milner goes to sit down. Moments later, Curtis Jones picks it up in midfield, little 1-2, and then he's in for the assist for Salah, and Salah opens the scoring. And of course, Milner and Klopp, then they have this like moment where Milner comes over and just is like, you know what you're talking about clearly, and I don't. That's why they pay you the big bucks. And for me, that was a great moment. It was a great moment because there was the Liverpool feeling coming back a bit that we've been sorely missing in recent weeks. But anyway, look, a lot of work to do for Liverpool to get back and to be even considered favourites for that game against Man City, I'd suggest. But going into Brighton now next week at Anfield, I feel a bit better about Robertson. I feel a bit better about Salah and the team. So anyway, guys, we'll talk about those in a bit. Yeah, I mean, the Spurs game, Højbjerg ain't going to hit many like that ever again. And today, that was a totally avoidable goal today. It was a consolation which really shouldn't have happened.
I agree with you. However, those things are happening too regularly.
They are.
For that price point of player.
Yes, they are. We've got like a day left until the transfer window closes. There's talk of this guy, Ben Davies from Preston North End.
According to Klopp, he's just from Spurs.
Don't know much about this kid, actually. But anybody that does know, any Preston fans that may be tuning into us, hit me up on Twitter. Let us know in the comments below. What do you know about Ben Davies?
Baptism of fire for him if he comes, isn't it?
Well, listen, and
from
also
Preston
we have to...
Preston to the starting 11.
Yeah, we have to sort of temper our expectations a bit as Liverpool fans because we're looking for the answer.
You're looking for Van Dijk, aren't you?
We're looking for an answer. And, this is a centre-back from Preston. So, listen, who knows? But to be honest, anything will do right now. Options will do. Because as Klopp suggested, we can play like we played today. But as he said in the post-match, anything else happens, we're done for, aren't we? We're done for. I mean, if Henderson picks up a knock, we're done for. We're done for. Super chat from Carlis. Thank you, Carlis, for the super chat. Hi, guys. What a game week. 94 points. 94 points, Carlis. Absolutely brilliant. That is a game week
and
a half, mate. Let me tell you. That is a captaincy on Salah, I suspect. Very, very good game week. A super chat from Stealth Panda. Hey, Kent, how are we doing? Very nice to see you, mate. Hey guys, hope you are well. I absolutely adore Mo Salah, don't we all, mate? Tonight showing the world-class player he is. Captain next week, locked for me. And then Chilwell, dot, dot, dot. We'll talk about Chelsea in a bit more detail later because the Tuchel Tombola, as it was suggested by James on the FPL show last Thursday, not the Pep Roulette, the Tuchel Tombola is in full swing. And Chelsea do look good, but I haven't got a clue to tell you who to pick. It really is. You can tell he's trying things out, right? We'll talk about Chelsea in a bit more detail. But yes, Salah back with a bang tonight. Not just a good performance, not just two goals, but two very, very good goals. The second one was a work of art, no doubt about it. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Let's say hello to a few people before we get into the game, Sam. Here's Teddy Usher. Hey, Teddy. Very nice to see you. Josh is in and moderating. Hey Josh. Josh Telling. Very nice to see you. At FPL Telling on Twitter. Matty Olsen is here. How are we doing, Matty? Good to see you, mate. Nuclear Atoms is in. Very, very good to see you. Brian Springer. Hey, Brian. How are you? So sorry, Sam. Hugs from Trinidad, he says. But congrats, Lee. Salah back with a bang. His captain. Well done, Brian. Captain Salah was the one to add this week.
It was quite split, though, actually. When I looked at the captaincy polls for this week, it was very split.
Yeah.
Like 15%, 14%. I think Bruno was the most highly captained, followed by Salah and... Or maybe the other way around, I can't remember. And then Son. Like, it was really close in that bracket.
And I personally don't feel too bad about it, because I went all week thinking Son or Gundogan. And then
you
I had
did
a,
the right thing.
And I had a thing about, yeah, I had a thing about, well, maybe it's Cancelo. So it was, I never really considered Salah for the captaincy, to be honest with you. And I played Souček and Antonio this week, because I thought they'd get something from a set piece, which they did. Just didn't expect it to be Dawson that popped up. The great Del Mondo is in. How are we doing? Zoe is here. Hey, Zoe. Very nice to see you. Optimus Prema. Hi there. He says, hi there, Optimus.
Hiya.
Sonny Forsberg. Hello. How are we doing? Matthew, you'll never walk alone. Good win today, Matthew. Hope you like that one, mate. That was a really good win, wasn't it? 70 points he got this week. Nice week. Very nice week. Nice. Get those scores coming, guys. Nathan Joblin is in at Jobalob.
Oh, well, now.
In the Slack. Now, Jobalob needs... we can't call him Jobalob. Nathan Joblin, I call him that because that's his name in the Slack, right?
Oh,
that's
right.
His name in the Slack. He's at Jobalob in the Slack.
I just think he's a bit of a ledge.
Every time
I see Nathan in the Slack, I'm like, oh, there he is.
So,
ledge.
Not only is Nathan, I think, and we'll do a Manager of the Month update in just a sec, but I think he's got a very good chance of winning Manager of the Month this month. And of course, the Manager of the Month is due to end, or has ended now, with that Spurs game. We haven't had time to do the totaling up, but I will give a Manager of the Month update based at the end of last game. I'll do the totaling up over the next couple of days, guys, and we'll find out who the winner is. Nathan's got a chance, but his overall rank, Sam...
Is he like ninth in the world?
He posted in the Slack over the course of the weekend, he did get up into single digit rank, I think.
He's
like, ridiculous. Not sure if he stayed there. Might be a little bit down, but listen, whatever he's doing, he is having a phenomenal season. So Nathan, well done, mate. Absolutely brilliant. Azzy is in. How are we doing? Azzy, he's here every week, Azzy. What a guy.
I don't think Azzy leaves.
He's just in YouTube, just waiting. Azzy, what a legend. Azzy, very nice to see you, mate.
I can't remember a live stream where Azzy's not been in.
Can you remember a non-Azzy live stream?
No, I can't.
Just can't remember one. Azzy, what a guy. Sheriff is here. How are you doing, Sheriff? Very nice to see you. Sam is here. Not you, but, you know, that would be
I
weird.
Am.
You are here, but differently. and the OG, Scott Schrager, is here as well. So, guys, very nice to see you. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of FPL Family. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side. We're also on Instagram, at FPL Family. And if you search for FPL Family on Facebook, you'll find our Facebook page as well. Right, Sam, where do we get... Let's do a couple of games. Then we'll do a bit of a Patreon Manager Month update.
Okay.
And then we'll get stuck into the other games. And I want to start, Sam.
But you want to start with Liverpool.
Where's the page? Hold on. I'm going to get the page.
Oh, Lord.
I want to start with West Ham 1.
Of course you do.
Liverpool 3. And
in a shock to nobody, Lee wants to start with Liverpool now they've won.
Absolutely. Want to start talking about Liverpool all of a sudden. Go on then. I'll give my view in a minute. What has changed for Liverpool as a semi-neutral? Because I like to think you're only semi-neutral and you do like to see us doing well every now and again. Maybe not last week, but every now and again.
What has changed
in the last couple of games?
Did you see my Insta reaction?
I did see your Insta reaction. That got a lot of reaction, to be honest. Insta reaction.
I kind of just thought... Sodded.
It's quite emotional.
I just give everyone my honest opinion. I was here on my own. I was like, and it was about 8 minutes long.
I'll tell you what, because we didn't watch that game together, I, as you guys know, I travelled down to Uxbridge to watch the FPL, or to do the FPL show with Gianni and James and the guys. And we watched it together in the green room. First of all, that, honestly, guys, given the state of the world and the lockdown and everything, I haven't watched a football match. Not that I don't love watching football with you, dear, because of course I do. But to watch a football match with a bunch of guys in a, just like, not in a, weren't even in a bar or anything, but just in a room with a bunch of guys was bloody brilliant. It was great. And of course, I could celebrate the goals. And it was a really, really good performance. But I did think of you here.
No,
thinking,
you didn't.
No, I did. I did. No, I did. Because not only was it a poor result, but the Harry Kane thing is clearly big. But let's talk about Liverpool first. Are we back? What's going on with Liverpool? What's changed the last 2 weeks?
Mane didn't play with Salah. Genuinely.
That's not the reason.
I genuinely think that this is a thing when it comes to Salah. I honestly believe that there's been an underlying tension with them for the last couple of seasons. Because, because they both... And it's not a bad thing. And I think last season it was a good thing, in fact, because they both want to be that player. And there's that friendly rivalry that existed last season.
But what I think it's gone sour?
But I think this season, the mood at Liverpool has been a bit off it. And as a result of that, the players have been a bit off it. And now I feel like it's every man for himself. So without Mane today, Salah was once again doing Salah things. I think I think it always happens when you have a lot of injuries. Spurs had it last year when we had so many injuries, is that eventually you learn to play without the players that you're missing. So I think that there is coming to a point with Liverpool now where they are learning to play without Van Dijk. As long as the other guys are there, like, as long as you're not having matches where Matip's gone and this one's gone and that one's gone as well, they've learned how to play without Van Dijk. And it doesn't mean clean sheets come very often, because there is always a mistake to be had, but the rest of the team up top manages that. And I do genuinely think that Salah is a better player when Mane's not on the pitch. I also think the reverse is true. I think Mane plays better without Salah.
Do you think they feel a certain amount of responsibility then to be the guy that's going to win the game?
And they like that. I think both of them like to be the man at the club. And I don't think that's a bad thing from a Liverpool point of view. But I think what it means when they're on there together is there isn't that kind of connection between the two of them that you see in, say, Son and Kane or other players from other clubs. Is that they just don't really want to help each other out. They would rather it be them that's the one that gets it in the back of the net. And I think for me, Salah, we saw the turnaround, I think, in the FA Cup, and was unlucky. Like, I watched the game obviously on Thursday night, and Salah was unlucky not to record points in that game. Like, for me, that was a brilliant goal that he scored. It was a handball from Firmino, but it was a brilliant goal that Salah scored.
Sure.
And then of course he's gone on from that today. So when you obviously take into account that goal that was eventually disallowed, that's three returns in a week for Salah, which is back to what you would want from him. So I think we're starting to see a return from him, and I wouldn't have any qualms now about captaining him next week.
Yeah, that looks pretty safe to me. I do agree with you to a point. My view on it is that I think it's actually more fundamentally tactical than that. I think we found something that works in the middle there, and I'll talk about it in just a second. James O'Mahony with a super chat. Thank you, James. He says, WTF, you can't sell Bruno, he'll burn you if you sell him.
Who's selling Bruno?
Well, I titled the live stream, Is It Time to Sell Bruno Fernandes? Because, as we'll get to later on, a lot of blanks now in a row for Bruno Fernandes.
Because when you sell somebody, they start performing, so off you go.
Yeah, we'll talk about Bruno a bit later, James. As he's in with the super chat, Salah has 20 goals in 21 games when Mane is out. So there's the stat that kind of supports what you're saying.
I believe it's true.
And I don't disagree with you, but I do think that Liverpool have found something in the middle of the park and they've changed it, right? Thiago in the six was clearly not working.
No.
One of the reasons it wasn't working was because the fullbacks, Robbo and Trent, didn't trust him to fill in and cover when they went forward. And that trust, that distrust was correct, because he wasn't doing it. He's not used to doing it. He's a forward-thinking guy. He wants to be in the final third playing key passes. He doesn't want to be covering for fullbacks. So therefore, he didn't do it, or he didn't do it very effectively. So that affected Trent and Robbo. They didn't get on and push on. And therefore, Mane and Salah are both looking at that going, well, where do I play? I haven't got my overlap. I've got to come inside. That makes me predictable, etc., etc. Now, what's changed in the middle of the park is that Thiago has pushed forward. So Klopp's gone, all right, you don't want to do that job and you're no good at it anyway, so you go further forward. Now, that's helped Liverpool creatively going forward and in attack, because he's pushed forward, doing what we expect and hoped Thiago would do more of when he came to our side, right? And he's doing more of that now. So that's good. That's his position. So now the problem is, who do you play in that holding six? Who is going to do that donkey work? And bless his cotton socks, it's Jimmy Milner, isn't it? It's Jimmy Milner, who can basically play where... I'm pretty sure if you gave Milner a pair of gloves, he'd have a decent stint in goal. Milner is unbelievable. He will play wherever you tell him to, and he will do a good job at it. Now, Milner, I noticed today, far more He's on the right of that midfield too, with Gini Wijnaldum on the left. Mm. Now, when Milner was filling in on the right, it works. And notice, Trent would get forward with a bit more trust that Milner's there. Salah had a better game because he and Trent worked that side of the defence. Now, with Wijnaldum on the left, Wijnaldum is A, not used to doing that covering job for Robbo, but B, Robbo is not used to seeing Wijnaldum, and that trust isn't there. So actually, we didn't see as much from Robbo down that side. Now, of course, Divock Origi was on that side as well. The Mane and Robbo connection wasn't quite there either. Origi was there not really for his attacking output because he was rubbish at that. It was more to do with his defensive attributes and his ability in the air more than anything. I think that was the reason he was in the team, more for defensive-minded. Right. You know,
he was rubbish.
I think so. He was rubbish, but then he did a job at the thing that I think Klopp put him in the team for, which was height and power in the box, which we needed from set pieces. So, of course, Robbo has got, well, I don't trust Ginny to cover me, and I've got this Muppet in front of me who I can't really get in front of because Divock ain't going to track back.
That's
he's got no
what
pace.
You called him during the game.
I did call him something worse than that. So all that goes to say, the point of that ramble, in my view, is that the right-hand side was far more effective for Liverpool today than the left. Now, when Mane comes back, that might change, and Ginny Wijnaldum still needs to learn. But if I had no Liverpool defenders right now and I was buying into one for the Brighton game, 100% I'd be buying Trent.
But you own Robertson. But would you? Would you advocate buying a Liverpool defender right now? Either of them?
For Brighton, yes. But then after that, probably no.
The thing is, for me, I can't...
So probably not for the long term, no.
I still can't get my head around their price tags. If they were... So last season, 100% they deserved those price tags. 100%. If anything, they deserve to be more expensive than they were. But this season, the clean sheets aren't there. We've seen them go twice now. And all right, they were a worldie from Højbjerg and then a last-minute consolation where you just switched off defensively.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that's clean sheets gone again. Mm. And I know that we saw some attacking returns from Trent against Spurs, but that's the first attacking returns we've seen from Trent in a very, very long time.
Yeah, sure.
And...
Well, put it this way. I'm not selling Robertson ahead of Brighton, right? I might decide to do something with him against Man City, and then we've got Leicester after that, so there is a decision to be made, potentially. Although Leicester didn't look like much today without Ndidi, did they? It looked like you could get at them, and Leeds definitely did, with that 4-1-4-1 and the high press. So
I guess budget's not really an issue either at the minute.
I wouldn't necessarily advocate for buying into a Liverpool defender right now. I agree. Not at 7 point whatever it is. Probably not. But if you've got them, you've got a hold for Brighton.
Yeah, I mean, I probably agree with you. But I mean, I wouldn't even think about bringing one in right now.
Okay. So that's Liverpool. Much improved. If you've got Salah, definitely stick. He looks very captainable against Brighton. And if you've got a Liverpool defender, I think they're a hold and a don't buy. Mane, we need to see how bad that injury is. The rhetoric from Klopp was it didn't sound too bad. Maybe he's going to come back for the Brighton game. Let's see. I would hold him if I had him. I'd hold him, yeah. I mean, don't forget. I mean, I know he's up against Aurier, who since has had a strop with Mourinho, isn't he? But he absolutely took the mick out of Aurier. He was fantastic in that game. So, in fact, he's picked up a bit of a knock.
And he
he's therefore had this game as a rest. Maybe he comes back.
Did pick up in that game as well, but did play on.
I think so. Anyway, Liverpool much improved. Brighton up next, then it's the big game against Man City. From a West Ham perspective, Aston Villa next, who again will be a difficult game for them. But if you're on an Antonio and a Suchek, for example, and you've got Creswell to go with those two, you're trebled in West Ham. Is that a good place to be or a bad place to be right now? How are we feeling about that?
It always makes me laugh every time someone says I'm trebled on West Ham.
I know, right? But there's such good value.
Rewind to September, I never thought I'd be trebled on West Ham.
I know. Never thought I'd be captain in Gundogan, to be honest.
Well, that didn't go that well either, though, did it?
No, it did not.
I am quite happy, actually, I think, because Suchek is what he is. I think at his price point, he is such good value for money. I'm happy-ish to bench him some weeks, and some weeks that goes fine and some weeks it doesn't. But he is one of those players that at the price point he is, you can bench. Creswell, you... I can't...
Still chipped in with an assist today. He takes free kicks. What's not to like about him? He's great.
Either gets a clean sheet or gets an attacking return gets both. He is no problem at all to me. And I think, you know, even against Aston Villa, I'm quite happy to play him. Antonio, I think, looks good.
He'd be fine.
And I think he's one of those players, that, again, at his price point, if he was...
He's just come up against an elite defence today. That's all it is.
I'm sorry, what now?
He's come up against Jordan Henderson. Come on.
An elite defence.
Elite defence.
You're taking a mick.
Anyway.
It's not what you were saying earlier.
Not panicking on West Ham, I think, is the answer, right? Not panicking on West Ham. Let's move on. West Ham 1, Liverpool 3 was the result there. Let's talk about a game.
Man City?
Where, so come on then, Man City 1, Sheffield United 0. We've often sat here and we've talked about the fact Man City aren't putting teams to the sword quite in the way that they have done in the past. And I think the same could be said here. But goodness me, they didn't get out of first gear, did they, City? They absolutely cruised through this game, knowing that if they conceded, they just turn it up a notch and go score again.
To me, this game was a Pep masterclass in tactical play.
Right.
He did not need to risk his players. He did not need to send them out there getting 6-7, 8-9-0. They just got one. And Sheffield United never looked like getting in the game. If they ever did get anywhere near the goal, you just knew that Man City would just go, all right then, off we go back the other end and we score a goal. Now, from an FPL point of view, that isn't great because obviously in the games against the likes of Sheffield United and West Brom, they are the games where we hope that our FPL assets go and go mental.
Yeah.
And we never got that. And it's frustrating. And it's even more frustrating, I think, if you are a John Stones or a Cancelo owner, because obviously the clean sheet stuck and there was a lot of defensive bonus points in that game as well.
Yeah, Diaz picking up a couple, right? Yeah, a couple. I bought him in this week and I was starting to see why he picks up the bonus points. Because I watched him in that game and he just does all the basics right. Pass completion, he gets the blocks in where he needs to, but he's the one that brings it out of defence and starts the attack. So therefore, sometimes he gets the key passes away, but it's just pass completion. Pass. And he just gets the bonus points.
Solid as a rock, Diaz. And what I like about Diaz...
He's made such a change then, hasn't he?
Yes.
Brilliant.
And what I like about Diaz as an FPL manager is the consistency. Like, I know that there will probably come a time where he'll miss a game, but more often than not, it won't be him that is missing from that defence. I think he sees Diaz and Laporte as his pairing. They're the ones that I think he wants to have there. Now, what does that mean for John Stones long term? I don't know.
Well, I said that on the FPL show on Thursday and I got shot down. Diaz and Laporte as his favourite too. No. He can't drop John Stones. I'm like, he can. I'm telling you. His two favourites.
When we were on the FPL show on Monday, I said I thought that John Stones was a rotation risk with Laporte because I think that he wants Laporte to play. We didn't see that in midweek, but we did see it at the weekend. And I fear that the John Stones-Laporte thing will be a problem that's going to rumble on.
Okay.
And Cancelo, he seems to like to bench every sort of 4 or 5 weeks, just as you get an arrest this week. And I'm not surprised, given his heat maps as well. The guy is everywhere.
I think with him, though, you just keep him. And when he plays, you know he's going to get points. He's unbelievable, Cancelo.
Yeah.
We've had a super chat, Sam. Just stop you for a second. A super chat from Gurav. Thank you, Gurav, for the super chat. Hope you're well. Grealish in for Rafinha or save and play Suchek this week. 88 points this week and up to 40k. Overall rank. Now Leeds are up against Everton next, and Everton did not look that great at the weekend. Let's just say that. We'll talk about them in a sec. So Rafinha could be a reasonable
pick. But Rafinha did get injured.
That was Rodrigo, I think, wasn't it? I think Rodrigo went off with the injury. I think Rafinha played on.
Did he?
I might get that wrong. You guys can correct either Sam or I in the live chat. 88 points this week for Gura. Very nice week. Up to 40k overall rank. Absolutely brilliant. Very, very good season. Next week, Son for Suchek for the West Brom game. Yeah, that sounds all right.
Son for Suchek? What, bring him in?
Bring in Son for the West Brom game.
God.
Not based on today. But Grealish in for Rafinha looks all right.
I would bring Son in. Unless Kane is fit, do not bring Son in. Well, if Kane's out for one, I'm taking Son out.
Yeah, the guys are saying, you are right, Sam. They both went off injured. Actually, Rafinha and Rodrigo. So keep your eyes on that injury news, Gurav, because it looks like Rodrigo might not be the one you want to bring in, mate, or Rafinha.
Particularly with Bamford also hobbling off at the end with a dead leg.
I think he's all right, though.
Well,
he said in the post-match, didn't he? He said it's a dead leg. He sort of laughed it off and he was all right. I wouldn't worry about Bamford.
There's not much time for these players to recover. That's the problem.
True. Yeah,
like,
true enough.
Bamford might be fine, but he has just lost a lot of creativity if Rafinha and Rodrigo don't make it.
I'll give you that. Man City 1, Sheffield United 0. Let's finish up on this game. So, a goal for Jesus. That's still not making me want to pick him, to be honest with you. To be honest, I just feel like it was a missed opportunity. I went into it with Cancelo, Gundogan captain, thinking that City would run riot. And had they wanted to, I think they could have.
Yeah, I agree.
And they just didn't, because they just didn't need to. And that's what's most frustrating about it. I mean, Gundogan got in reasonable positions.
A couple of opportunities,
but they didn't even break a sweat. And with Liverpool up in a week's time, that's probably why. Probably they've got to go to the Turf Moor next in midweek, which is a bit more of a tricky game, I'd suggest.
Ooh. Is that where they've got to go? Barely.
Yeah. Any word on Sheffield United?
No. It's just a no.
Just move on.
I think I said this on my Instagram. I think it might have been in midweek. If you really feel like you want to take money out of your bench, and at the minute with no premium assets available, I don't know why you would, but if you really feel like you would, then you could potentially look at one of the cheap Sheffield United, because they do always play, so you're always going to get some points off of your bench. So if you want to go uber cheap,
I've already switched off, Sam. I'm not listening to you about Sheffield United.
They're not West Brom inspiring.
Next though, so they've got to win that. They've got to win
they
that.
Won't will they that game has got boring 0-0 draw written all over it.
A couple more games to talk about. Talking of boring 0-0 draws, let's spend a little bit of time on Arsenal versus Manchester United.
Brilliant.
A game that Roy Keane came out of, actually. Roy Keane in the post-match was saying he was a bit disappointed with Manchester United. He said that they don't believe that they can win the title. Like when they went to Anfield and got a 0-0 draw where they should have won. They went to Arsenal and they arguably should be winning that game if they've got any aspirations of actually winning this title.
They haven't.
Are they just dropping unnecessary points here? Or were Arsenal good value for their 0-0? And of course, and while you're talking about that, love to get your thoughts now on five blanks in a row, Bruno Fernandes. What are we saying? Is he now a problem?
I don't know. The problem is, with Bruno...
The fixtures coming up are insane, by the way.
The fixtures are nice.
Very good.
Not only the fixtures nice, but who are you going to bring in for him? Because, all right, most people have got Salah. So if you don't have Salah, you could go Bruno to Salah. Fine, I'll take that. Man City, lottery. Pick one, may play, may not play. At least with Bruno, you know he's always going to play. Spurs, don't bother. Arsenal.
I can't believe how much your mood has changed around Spurs without Kane.
Don't bother.
I honestly can't believe it. And I've been listening a lot to Planet FPL Pod. Obviously, we're good friends with James and Suge that do Planet FPL. Hi, guys, if you're listening. And James has been a bit on a downer with Spurs
honestly,
without Kane as well. And I know a few guys at my works, big Spurs fans, they're like, without Kane, we've had it. And I wonder whether the players think that. And that because the body language for some of them against Brighton today was not good. And Mr. Bale, coming into that game where Mourinho gives him the nod and basically says, now is your time to step up, Gareth. And he plays a game like that. It's incredible. But I don't want to talk too much about Spurs. We'll talk about Arsenal versus Man United later.
My view on Bruno is that potentially, if everybody else in the premium bracket was performing, then you might look at taking him out. But the reality is they aren't. They're either injured or they're not performing. And...
the guys are saying Bruno was essential last week. He got an assist a couple of weeks ago. Did he? I don't remember that.
He got one assist in that. So I think it's six game weeks.
With one assist.
No goals. And there's one assist in there.
Okay. Anyway, it's a drop in form. Put in that one. Yeah.
And then, of course, he did what he did in the FA Cup. But so for me, I watch Bruno and I think he is one of those players that I just can't see me ever taking out. Even in this dip in form, he is the one.
He's frightened the death out of me. I got on him really late, didn't I, this season? And I hated not having him.
Yeah.
And now I've got him, I feel like I can't sell him, to be honest.
I think for me, he is the player. If Man United are going to win games, he is the player. He's the one that's going to be involved in making that happen. He's the one that's going to create the magic at some stage.
And I don't know if you've seen the fixtures coming up, but it's Southampton at home next. A really, really out of sorts Southampton that have won one game in nine, right? They're bang off it at the minute. Everton, who really hit and miss, but very much miss against Newcastle this week. We'll talk about that in a sec. Then it's West Brom away for Bruno and his boys. Then it's Newcastle at home. I mean, the next four... three home games there and away game against West. You ain't selling him ahead of that, all the blanks. Right?
If anything, surely you're thinking about backing him up in that game.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but I ain't selling Bruno ahead of that. And then it's Chelsea in 26. But by the time we get to 26, our squads, I suggest, might look a bit different because the fixture list will be out and there'll be doubles and all the rest of it. So, listen, a pretty uninspiring game at the Emirates, Arsenal and Manchester United nil. But you're not selling your Manchester United assets, least of all Bruno, ahead of that run of fixtures, I would suggest. If that is the biggest fire you've got in your team, you've probably got a pretty good team, I'd suggest. Arsenal, on their part, though, they go away to...
Injury to Saka's a problem.
Well, didn't they... Yeah, they lacked a bit, didn't they, without Saka? I must admit, he's a big player for them. We got to see 10 minutes worth of Ødegaard.
Yeah.
So we'll wait to see what sort of impact he's really going to have on that Arsenal side. But it's Wolves, then Aston Villa next, then it's Leeds at home, Man City and Leicester. So there's not many games in the next five for Arsenal where you'd say, yeah, they could rack up a big score there. So if you want to go for Saka, depending on his availability and the injury news, okay, that's fine because of his price point. But I don't know, you're not going to go up to a Lacazette, are you, at 9 point something with those fixtures?
Got a knock as well, didn't he, Laka?
I think he might have picked up a bit of a knock. I don't see anybody in that Arsenal side that I think, yeah, definitely got to have them ahead of this run of fixtures. They're second bottom, actually, interestingly, to Man City,
I think,
on the FF Scout fixture difficulty rating.
I think that they have lacked a little bit since Tierney's injury. I think losing Tierney has made quite a big difference
to
them.
Lost a couple of key players, they have, yeah.
Tierney makes a big difference because he is...
Danny McDonald. Pepe looked decent. Do you know what? He actually did. I will... Right.
All right, put him up to how many P's he worth now.
I will give him his due. He looked all right. And Danny, that's
he was
that's
down
a big statement for me.
Because
he is absolute rubbish, that player. But he did look all right, yes.
I think...
5 out of 10.
For me, I think that Arsenal, they've got some really... Oh, this is quite painful. They've got some real quality players who, when they're playing, they make a big difference. Tierney is one of them, and Saka is one of the other ones that I'm thinking of. And without the two of them, they just lack a bit of creativity. And of course, Aubameyang is in quarantine after flying home, so he wasn't available for the game. I don't know if he's out of quarantine before the midweek fixtures. I'm not sure.
Give me your view on Manchester United. That's just we brushed over that, and we need to go back to it really, because Southampton, Everton, West Brom, Newcastle over the next four, and then, you know, like I said, 26 is going to look a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've all got Bruno Fernandes. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
And you said, well, maybe you want to supplement him.
Yeah.
You've got to look at their defence, haven't you?
I mean, yeah.
Defence has been pretty good. And even with Alex Telles there, I think Luke Shaw is showing me enough recently at 4.9, 5.0, whatever he is nowadays, on set pieces, etc., to suggest that he could be a reasonable pick. Or would you go for this surety of starts with maybe a Harry Maguire or David De Gea or something like that? Or even your mate Biscuits over the other side?
No, I'm not Biscuits. I'm not getting the Biscuits in. Maguire, I think, is less of a problem now because obviously the yellow card thing is gone. So I think that makes a big difference to my thinking about Maguire, because that had been kind of pinging around in the back of my head, because I do like him. I like his aerial threat from set pieces. I do like Luke Shaw. I think he offers good value. But I do slightly worry because we have seen one game with him benched. He was benched, wasn't he, for 20? Was it game week 20? I think he missed out. Obviously, he was back in for 21, but it worries me a little bit that there is that rotation.
He was
there.
Benched for 20 and United were crap, though.
They were crap.
And
yeah,
actually, they lacked the balance,
I thought,
he provided them by playing at left back. Telles came in and was bloody awful. They lost 2-1 to Sheffield United, and he was one of the players, I would suggest, alongside Martial. And possibly, who was the other guy that was a bit lacklustre? Martial, there was somebody else. Pogba, maybe. Don't know. But anyway, Telles was one of those players that really struggled in the game, I thought.
I do think
that Sheffield United game.
I do think De Gea is an opportunity at the moment. So I'm thinking about doing a very, very boring keeper change this week.
To De Gea?
And De Gea is one that keeps popping up because the fixtures are really nice. The opportunities for clean sheets should be there. He's definitely one that I'm kind of pointing. I've got so much money in the bank. I'm kind of like, well, maybe I lose McCarthy and I go up to De Gea.
Splashing out on goalkeepers, Sam. You have changed. Let's go elsewhere. Let's talk about Everton 0, Newcastle 2. In what is a game where, you know, it really was one, not one for the stats gurus, was it? Because
it was awful.
One of the reasons I bought in Dominic Calvert-Lewin this week was because I looked at all the stats. I listened to Black Box and I watched the FPL show, listened to the guys on Planet, everything else. Listened to all the guys that I normally listen to throughout the week. And all of the stats were like, Newcastle are guff. They are absolute guff. They concede a lot of chances. Their non-penalty XG was really high. They're just rubbish. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin, despite being really out of form, because he hadn't scored for ages, with Dina back and James back, it was like, well, this is too much of a coincidence for this to not happen, right? All the elements are there for Dominic Calvert-Lewin to get back on form if you're a stats man. But it just didn't turn out like that. And Everton were slow. They were ponderous. They didn't really get going in the game.
They were awful.
And Newcastle, having been absolute rubbish for weeks, actually didn't look too bad. Almiron, I mean, I saw a stat on Sky when I was watching it. Was it BT? Can't remember. But Almiron, I think, run the most in terms of kilometres throughout the game. I couldn't believe it.
So I think there's two things at play here. One, the 12:30 game's always rubbish.
True,
it's
yes,
very rarely
true.
Good. It's very rarely
the
good.
The lunchtime game is guff.
It's very
always.
Rarely good.
Yeah.
It very rarely performs in the way that you expect it to. It's always a bit rogue. and it was rogue this week. But also, I'm not going to stick up for Newcastle here, but I do think that they have, whatever happened with them in this COVID situation, it has massively affected them for a number of weeks. And I wonder,
Newcastle.
Yeah. And I wonder whether they might just have turned the COVID corner. Like, you hear about
the COVID corner.
No, but genuinely, because it was that they weren't
What's
too...
What's that all about?
But they weren't that bad. Up until they got COVID and they had to close the training ground, it wasn't that bad at Newcastle. COVID hits, literally, they can't play football anymore. It's almost like they forgot what they were doing. And suddenly, we're starting to see the beginnings of...
So when did that change then? Because Charlie King is in the live chat. Thank you, Charlie, for the comment. Newcastle played with so much more intent in that game in the second half of the Leeds game. Wilson in for Wood for me this week. So Charlie wants to bring in Wilson on the back of that result. And was it was the COVID corner turned halfway through that Leeds game then?
I think it was. Yeah, honestly, right. Game week 20, right. St Maximin comes back on as a sub. And I think all of a sudden...
Daz Mondo is saying COVID corner should be a talk show. This is... This is really bad taste, guys. We need to move on.
You know what I mean. There has been, and I do think that the long term effect on that club, for whatever reason, has been particularly hard. They've been particularly hard hit.
Yeah.
And the closing of the training ground for an extended period of time, and the loss of big players like Lascelles and St Maximin for such a long period of time.
Lascelles hobbled off again, didn't he, at the weekend?
He did. Equally, I think that, you know, it did seem to me that it was about half time in game week 20 that you suddenly started looking at that Newcastle side thinking, hey, it looks too bad now.
So go on then, Newcastle at home to Palace, then at home to Southampton before they go away to Chelsea and Man United. Is there a short-term punt in there for the next couple?
Well, yeah, put it this way. If I'd held Harry Kane and we don't get any news, because some people did that, didn't they, therefore, or I just hold him because they haven't had any firm news. I stick him on my bench this week. If I owned him and we get news that says he's out for a month, a short-term punt on Callum Wilson don't look that bad.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin perspective, obviously home to Newcastle, away to Leeds, I must admit, I was bringing him in for those two fixtures, not about to knee-jerk him out because of that, because I want him for that Leeds game, because Leeds do look pretty bad defensively.
Mm.
But then Man United, Fulham, Liverpool... All of a sudden, he could be the worst bandwagon ever if he blanks against Leeds and everyone's shipping him out again.
Well,
I mean, if Bamford bangs in that game, I'm going to go absolutely mental. Because that would have been the worst transfer of my season.
I think, I did Dominic Calvert-Lewin for Kane on the basis that Kane was supposed to be 2 weeks. Now, hopefully he is, because the plan was Dominic Calvert-Lewin for 2 weeks.
Never 2 weeks.
And then I'll bring Kane back. But honestly, I can't see me holding Calvert-Lewin. He's got to do something in this next game. Otherwise, he's gone.
Yeah.
And Callum Wilson... I mean, he's consistently returning points at the minute.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Louis C, thank you for the comment. Is Lee's favourite word guff? Yes, it is, Louis, because
this
is a family show.
Is.
I've already nearly sworn once, and if this wasn't a family show, I'd be saying a lot ruder words. But instead of that, I say guff instead.
We both did during the football today.
I did say a lot of swear words during the football today, particularly about certain Mr. Bamford. Let's talk about this absolute
Lee
guff.
Lee was, honestly...
Oh, guys, honestly.
I see you rage quite a lot about various things, but I have...
It was a proper FPL wage, though. I didn't really care. From a football perspective, Leicester dropped points, so I'm happy, right? The FPL rage was true in this
Your
one,
FPL
no doubt.
Rage today has been hilarious, because it started off with this game. Like, this game, he started off raging. And by the time Robertson lost his clean sheet, the rage was through the roof.
That's unbelievable. That consolation from West Ham just absolutely topped it off. What a terrible, terrible game. Another one where it could have been so good if not for my absolute guff decisions.
First time that Leicester have dropped points when they've taken the lead this season.
That's true. Yes, absolutely
true.
And by the way, as I'm sure you're about to point out, not only was my game week guff, mainly because of Bamford, but I also got a massive slice of jam in this game. Because I had Dallas coming off the bench for Cancelo. So I did have got the seven coming on.
It happens
to
you though, doesn't it? Every time you bench points, what happens? They come off the bench.
Give me that.
Every time I bench points, what happens? They don't. I've got another eight on my bench this week.
It's FPL rage coming out.
Another eight.
FPL rage.
What am I on now? 183. I'm up to 191 points bench this season.
Did you see that on the FPL show?
But
that they posted your bench points?
Yeah, because I texted Tom, the producer, and said, Tom, have you seen my benching? And we were 161 by that point.
We've had a super chat, which is a good opportunity for you to chill out. Hi, Lee and Sam. This is from Coco, who is one of our patrons. Coco, how are we doing? Somebody that I've spoken to, actually, one of our Zoom Patreon calls. So, Coco, very nice to see you. Hi, Sam and Lee. Three suggestions for premiums for next week. He's got Sterling, Fernandez. Should I bring in Salah? Well, given that Liverpool do seem to have found their mojo a little bit, I think, Coco, it does feel pretty prudent to bring in either Salah or Mane. At the moment, I think
Salah.
I would go for Salah.
Not Mane.
But
Salah.
it depends on the Mane injury. Don't forget, Mane was good in that Spurs game. But listen, I think I would go Salah just about. Just to finish up on this game, Sam. So Leicester City then. A different proposition without Wilfred Ndidi in midfield.
Yes.
A lot of the commentary in, was it BT Sport? No, Sky. A lot of the commentary on Sky was, they miss Vardy this, Vardy that. And I'm thinking, yeah, I get that. But they really miss Ndidi.
I mean, yes, of course they miss Vardy. But equally, I thought Maddison and Harvey Barnes were getting into some good positions. There were some good opportunities for them in that game.
Yeah.
Actually, Leeds defensively got away with quite a lot in that game. There was there was enough opportunities in that game for Leicester to have taken it. So, yes, they missed Vardy for his finishing, although that's been a bit iffy of late. But I agree with you. I think what they really missed was Ndidi. They missed the presence. Same as Liverpool, we were talking about earlier. They missed that person that the back four can rely on. Then, of course, they got more injury problems that happened to that back line with Castagne going off injured within the first half an hour. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And then they made another substitution, didn't they? And they brought on... Or Brighton went off injured. So it's like it's mounting up, I think, on Leicester at the moment in terms of their injury problems.
I mean, the midfielders look like they're full of attacking intent. Right? No surprise to see Harvey Barnes creating damage through where Leeds are most susceptible to take damage, right? Which is direct dribbling through the centre. I mean, that was pretty well documented on Twitter, everywhere else. Leeds struggle with that directness. So all of a sudden, Harvey Barnes pops up, great goal. Yeah. No surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that 4-1-4-1 that Leeds play, where you know it's going to be high press and high energy, without Ndidi, that four gets joy in that area of the pitch. And I thought they exposed that flaw in Leicester's setup.
They did, absolutely. And I think for me, what was really interesting was that I didn't see this game panning out that way. So I played Bamford, but I also played Justin, because I felt like if there was a goal, Bamford would probably be somewhere involved in it. But I wasn't that confident, to be honest.
Okay.
But James Justin, I expected to do more. But I worry, actually, about that back line. Without Ndidi, they weren't that great without Ndidi before. And particularly now, if there's going to be change in that back line because of injuries, that's another issue, I think.
Yeah, Fulham away next, which is not easy, right?
Fulham playing a lot better.
And then Wolves, who are struggling for goals, so you're probably okay there. But then Liverpool, Aston Villa away, Arsenal.
I'm not wed to James Justin.
These are teams where they can get at Leicester, I think. So maybe there's an opportunity to switch one of those guys up. We've had a super chat from Olympus L83. Thank you, Olympus, for the super chat. Talk about jam. He says, talk about jam. Captain Sterling, vice-captain Salah. Very, very nice indeed. Wilson first sub for Sterling. And Holding second sub for Cancelo. That, Sam,
that is how you play FPL.
That is how you play FPL. That is Olympus. That is the Mount Olympus of jam right there. That is absolutely sensational. Sterling doesn't play, so you get the Salah captaincy points. Wilson's first sub off your bench.
Imagine
and
being
the Holding eight-pointer coming
on. You're sitting there like this, aren't you? Please, Pep. Please don't bring him on. Please,
love that.
Pep.
Absolutely sensational. Sam, before we talk about a couple of other games, because I do want to talk about Spurs, of course.
Do
of
we
course.
Have to?
I just want to give the guys a quick update on the manager of the month, as I suggested and promised that I would do at the beginning of the show. Now, here is the points as it stood before this game week. So these are the runners and riders. We've got our very own James Linden, actually, from Planet FPL, who is James is one of our patrons, and we are one of the patrons of Planet FPL because we like to support each
we
other.
Love each other.
We love each other. They're just great guys, and we love them. So James is having, if you follow Planet FPL, you will know he had an absolute blinder in the double game week because he had John Stones and a few others. So he's doing very, very well this month. So he is in at 300, or was in at 317 points. I think he might have captained Calvert-Lewin this week, though.
Oh, James.
So not sure where that's going to end up. Then you've got Nathan, who we mentioned before. He of the upper echelons of FPL with the single-digit ranks.
He's unbelievable season.
Continues to have a fantastic season. He's in at second with 321 points. And then with just 1 point ahead of them, you've got Karan and you've got Jonjo at 322. So it is all to play for. It is all to play for. And it was kicking off in the slack a little bit over the weekend. What points
Karan,
have you got? Who have you captained?
Karan had all three of his Man City assets benched, didn't he?
Karan got well and truly pepped, I think.
He got pepped.
I think he got well and truly pepped.
Is that a new phrase as well?
I think Nathan might just pep him to the post as a result of that. But listen, well, I will do all the tallying up of the scores from this game week. And this time next week when we do our live stream, we will announce who the winner is. Who the winner is. And I've done a little collage here, Sam, of some of our previous winners. We've had...
Look at that beautiful one in the middle.
Yeah, that beautiful one in the middle, which was given away a couple of weeks ago. You've got Bryce in the top right-hand corner, one of our long-term patrons who wanted the Manchester United treble 99 shirt.
That's the one that took forever to get there, wasn't it?
It was... Oh, because Bryce lives in Mauritius, right?
It took a long time. This was pre-COVID. It took us forever to get there when we could send them.
It took a long time, but... Bryce was very patient and it got there. So thank you, Bryce, for being patient with that. We had Jay Ryan, who got the Arsenal Invincible shirt. We've had Carl Henderson there in the bottom left-hand corner, who got the Liverpool Champions of Europe 6 shirt. So, guys, these are the sorts of prizes that go out every single month to our Patreon supporters. So if you want to take part in the February Manager Month, of course, January is done now. Good luck to Karan and Nathan and James and John Joe and everyone else that could still win that once I do all the totaling up. But if you want to take part... in February's competition, now is a good time to do that.
Tomorrow
is a good time to do that and have a look at that. We have 3 tiers on our Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below if you want to get involved. If you just want to stop by and say thanks, we love what you do, Lee and Sam. We want to just put a little tip in the jar at $3 and we want some bonus podcasts and access to the Slack community. We'd love you to have you along at the Ohana tier. If you want to take part in the Manager of the Month and go for the $5 tier and have a chance for all of the monthly competitions, obviously, as well as the bonus podcast and the Slack community access, then the $5 tier is for you. And if you want to go all in, you want to go to the Zoom tier, go to the $10 tier where you get, that's all in, right? That's where you get the podcast, the Slack, you're obviously in the monthly competition, and you get the opportunity for one-to-one Zooms with us to talk about your team. And we've had quite a few of those lately. Really, really nice to meet our community.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, those Zooms, I find them as great to just meet the guys it is to talk FPL,
yeah.
Right? I know the guys are getting, hopefully, a lot of FPL value from it, but it is just nice, especially in the times we're in, right? I'm not saying that, you know, this is a good reason to join us at Zoom, far from it, but it's just nice, I find, to talk to somebody different about FPL.
I did
a
chat with
great.
Steve
really, really good.
On Monday, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just on Monday, just before the deadline on Tuesday, I had a lovely Patreon chat with Steve. It was really nice. He's in the States. It was lovely to talk to him.
Yeah, so we have quite a few of you at the Zoom tier as well, and we have about, I think, 180 patrons altogether that are in the Slack, and that's building up a nice community, particularly on match day. Match day is great in the Slack.
Particularly when Pep Roulette. In
great, yeah, Karan with the pet roulette, an absolute, he's had a shocker there, no doubt about it. So if you want to go check us out on patreon.com/FPL family, links in the description below. Really good time to go check us out over there at the beginning of a month and get involved in the February Manager of the Month competitions. There we go, Sam. Let's talk about a couple more of these games. We have to very briefly talk about what we saw at the Amex. Brighton 1, Spurs 0. We talked quite a lot about Spurs and without Kane at the top of the show. Anything else that you want to add? Were there any other players that you were that went a bit missing in that game? I thought Ndombele went a little bit missing
game. To be fair to Ndombele, I think they played him well, Brighton.
They did a
really good job on him, and they took away from his flair that he normally has. I think my concern with Spurs, so when the team sheet was first announced, actually you said to me, didn't you, because I was dishing up dinner at the time, have you seen the Spurs team? And I said, no, but please tell me Vinicius is on the team sheet. And when you said no, I was like, what are we doing? Like,
there's your focal point gone. And actually, when he came on,
we were so much better.
And
for me, Vinicius, if I was Vinicius, I'd be fuming. Quietly fuming, because I think he will get the opportunities now, because I think he's made a point that... We, as a team, we miss the focal point that when Kane's not there. We miss that one person that is... Now, no one can replace Kane, because Vinicius isn't going to be Harry Kane. He's not going to be back defending and everywhere all over the pitch. But he will give you that target person up top.
Yeah. And the system remains.
Because basically what then should happen is that Vinicius should take Son's place and Son can fill in for Kane.
But Vinicius isn't going
to
drop off and
create, is he?
He's going to stay there and be a target man.
And that's fine, because all that means is that you then rely on the likes of Bergwijn and Son to do the dropping off and being creative. Now, the problem I have is that when you have Son, Bergwijn and Bale, they don't know how to play together. They don't. And it's the wrong players. I think the transfer that he... The substitution that he made that I thought was the right one, he just left it way too late, was to bring on Lamella. We needed a little ratty one to just get in there, in and around Brighton, and be annoying. And that is what Lamella does. He gets out there, he's in the way, he's in your face, and he's annoying.
So that's what Jamie Taylor is saying. He's saying Vinicius should have started, Sam. I agree. And Bossman 525, hey Bossman, he's saying, yeah, Bale looks so lazy and disinterested. What's going on? He's got a shocking attitude. And Tom Minter saying Bale's legs have gone. So listen, I don't want to spend too much time because no one in their right mind is thinking of bringing in Bale right now. thoughts on him, given that Mourinho did call him out before the game and say, time for you to step up.
It's all very well and good to say that, but you're asking him to step up in a team that's lost its main focal point. And Bale cannot be Harry Kane. No Spurs fan is expecting Bale to be Harry Kane in that game. And if Mourinho is genuinely expecting that, then he's wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Alejandro Perez is saying, time to sell Son.
Yeah.
Son looks like a bad option until Kane returns, yeah. Harry Sampson is saying. So. Yeah.
I agree with both of those points.
Infamous BVZ is saying just went to Son out to Salah.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Listen, a lot of you thinking of getting rid of Son. And to be honest with you, based on today's performance, I'd have to agree.
The other thing I would say, though, is I thought we really missed Eric Dier today. He benched him today for the first time, and I think we missed him. I think it was a rest more than it was anything else, but still, we missed him.
Okay, all right, David Jones. Son looks lost. Yeah, there you go. So who can we replace Son with, Jacob Newman is saying. So listen, Son out looks popular and ahead of the game.
Just wait. If I was you, I'd just wait with Son, because if we need a bit of firm news on Kane. If Kane's going to be back...
He's out, Sam. You're clutching at straws. No. He's not back for Chelsea. He's done both ankles.
Have you seen Mourinho? Have you met Mourinho?
He's definitely out.
Have you met Mourinho?
All right. Well, listen, if you want to hold Son, that's absolutely fine. Because you've got a game. I'm probably going to sell him for Grealish. But anyway... Or I might take a punt on this new-look Chelsea side, who look pretty good. They look pretty good. And actually, when you look at the Chelsea fixtures...
It's a punt, isn't it?
Well, it is. But if you look at the fixtures for Chelsea, it's that Spurs game, which suddenly I fancy Chelsea for.
Brilliant.
Then it's Sheffield United, Newcastle, Southampton. So actually, the next four are against teams that are criminally out of form, unless you maybe put Newcastle's performance against Everton into perspective there. But Spurs, Sheffield United, Newcastle and Southampton, before then a key fixture against Manchester United in 26. The next four for Chelsea suddenly don't look too bad. And Tuchel has started pretty well. Now, it's not a surprise to see Azpilicueta and Alonso and the wing-backs doing well for Tuchel. And he actually did came out after the game, didn't he? And he said, well, maybe that's a bit of a signal. Maybe that's something that might give our forwards a bit of a kick up the backside.
It did, yeah, yeah.
Timo Werner. But listen... It's difficult. I need to go and watch Match of the Day for a start, not least because I want to see the Liverpool performance again. But I need to see how Chelsea performed in this game, because we didn't watch the Chelsea game. We watched the Leicester and Leeds game. I want to see who he's picking and I want to see how they're doing, because right now it's difficult to know who to go to. But could somebody like a Pulisic or somebody like a Havertz or somebody like a Ziyech be a... Could be a reasonable differential punt for the next 4 weeks.
No, it can't be, because you it can't be, and it not for the reason you think, but it can't be because we don't know who his starting 11 is yet. We've seen two matches from him where he's played pretty much two totally different sides. We see Mount get benched for one, and then he starts in the next one. We see complete changes to the defence. We don't yet know, and I don't think we will know, until we are a bit more into Tuchel's reign. I think he is still experimenting with his side. And I think, you know, he benched Pulisic today. Okay. Pulisic, for me, is still a great option. I think there are still some really good options at Chelsea that I would look to go to, but I don't think you can do it yet. I don't think you can tell. And all that's going
to
happen
would you,
is...
So, good option there. Who would you go to then?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I think they all have the potential over the next 5 weeks to be really, really nice picks.
So what about Mr. Rudiger at 4.5? Started both games, clean sheets, two back-to-back, 4.5. Great value.
But there is other players in that position.
I know.
And that's the thing, is I genuinely don't think that we have... He is making it quite clear that he is trying things out at Chelsea. And he can try things out. He can afford to, and the results have been fine.
A few of the guys in the live chat, Oliver's saying it, and also Dominic is saying it. Hudson-Odoi
started both games.
Looks pretty good. Got himself an assist. Any bonus points here? Would have got a bonus point as well. So listen, maybe at wing back, Cho is the chosen one. Is saying Cho is Tuchel's new Mbappe. I wouldn't go that far, but he has started and looked all right.
I just think that, you know, I genuinely think with Chelsea, and I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do, but the fixtures are nice for quite a long time. So you can afford to get to Spurs, watch what they do in that game, because I wouldn't be at all surprised if Aspilicueta and Alonso don't start against Spurs.
And then maybe act ahead of Sheffield United, Newcastle and Saints.
I think you've got, you have a week, I think, before you have to make those decisions, because the Sheffield United game, I think, is where you want them.
Okay.
So let's see who plays in those games. If Cho gets another start, then... But I've been there before where I've called him out.
Okay. All right, let's see. Jeremy Baker is saying Tuchel is the new Pep. Could well be. Stealth Panda, thank you for the super chat. What to do with Chilwell? I'm thinking of selling. So again, didn't get the start today, Chilwell.
I bet he'll start against Spurs.
I think he probably will start against Spurs. But
then
whether
he'll be back to the others.
To your point, whether he's going to start consistently, who knows? Because Alonso came on and did, I would suggest, put in a performance that would have caught Tuchel's eye, right?
It's got a nice rotation pair, I think, because he's got Alonso for the slightly easier games.
Possibly.
And he's got Chilwell for the slightly more difficult games. I think Chilwell will play against Spurs. Suspect we might see Alonso against Sheffield United.
Well, there we go. There's the answer, Kenz. I think you've suddenly got a bit of a rotation risk on your hands, as perhaps we might have on the other side with Azpilicueta, who had another good game, and Reece James and Hudson-Odoi, depending on who he plays. Let's see, we've got Piers Higgins with the super chat. Thank you, Piers. Hi guys, love it here. We love having you here, Piers. Thank you for joining us, mate. Is Kane to Firmino a shout? Well, Kane to somebody is a shout, mate, because he's out for a bit. Unless you agree with Sam that he's only out for the short term. I don't agree with that.
I'm not saying that I think
is Kane to Firmino a good shout?
No. It's not January, it's not December. It's February now.
Okay.
I just think if you're going with Liverpool, you're going Salah, aren't you?
Okay. All right, listen, that is enough of the game, Sam. Enough of the games. We've covered most of them. Let's go back to the OBS. Let's talk about our teams for the week. Let's start with me. It's a 46-pointer for me this week. Might actually be 47 because Son finished the game on 2, I think. So these screenshots were taken at half-time in the Spurs game. So it'll be 47 points. Don't think that's going to have much of a difference on my overall rank. Slipped about 20k this week. Slipped about 20k, which, given my absolute ineptitude at being able to pick and make a decent transfer, given the Bamford thing went so hideously wrong for
me. Only 20k?
Given the fact that my captaincy went so hideously wrong, I'm actually going to take that and say, I've got a bit of jam with Dallas, because without the Dallas 7-pointer, I'm suddenly on, I'm in 30-something territory, and then I'm at probably 120, 130k. So listen, I'm outside the top 100k for the first time in about 3 or 4 weeks. It's not comfortable, I don't like it. Made an absolute stinker doing my transfer, Dominic Calvert-Lewin from Bamford. Terrible transfer. But when I look at it in the cold light of day, and I always say this, you should judge your transfers based on what happens before, not what happens after. You've got DCL. Okay, he's out of form, but he's against a woeful Newcastle side who are posting terrible defensive stats, and Everton lose 2-0. And you've got Bamford up against Leicester, who I should have thought haven't got Ndidi, but I didn't. I thought that defensively they're all right, and Leeds can score. But, you know, Bamford's numbers were on the way, and he's looking poor. His XG's down, all the rest of it. So lesson learned this week, guys, is stop taking hits for XG. That's my lesson learned for this week.
Just don't take a hit.
I could not believe it when Bamford scored that, especially the unbelievable goal that he scored. Unbelievable goal. So anyway, I'm happy to have Diaz in my team. That's one thing I should say. I bought Diaz in as my other transfer. And listen, he is a Rolls-Royce defender. No doubt about it. He's really, really good. And he picks up the bats for his pass completion rate. Listen, if Cancelo had played, maybe he gets some points, I don't know. But Dallas is coming in with the 7. I'll take it. No problem at all. Robertson was really close to the clean sheet. Didn't happen. Antonio, Calvert-Lewin, Suchet. I'm not worried about any of these guys. It's literally the difference between my game week and a lot of others was Bamford. He is still owned by like half the game. So I know a lot of you will have done Bamford to Calvert-Lewin as well. On paper, it looked like a really good transfer. It just didn't happen for us. IRL. So there it is. The Bamford transfer has cost me, and basically the difference between my team and your team is Patrick Bamford's 15. So you've got 60 points this week up to a
61.
Total 61, of course, because of the Son extra points. So 61 points up to a total of 1307 then, and an overall rank of roughly 75k. Talk us through your game week.
Diaz and Creswell doing fine. I wasn't really expecting Creswell to get a clean sheet. I put him in there.
That goal is another FPL family swing, isn't it? The Robbo clean sheet to the Creswell assist. That is...
Well, with playing Salah as well, of course, I was kind of banking on a Creswell attacking return, which I got very late, but I got it. So it kind of... he's just a bit of a legend. He always returns something or other. So I'm quite happy to have him. Diaz, you've already spoken about. Very, very happy to own Diaz. I like owning him. He's
really
so
good player.
Comfortable to own. Justin is really... I have a real love-hate relationship with him. Some weeks he's great. And
with
I have
who?
To, James Justin.
With James Justin, yeah.
Some weeks I have to make a public apology to him because I really kind of don't feel comfortable. And then he does well. And then other weeks... I'm waiting on news on Ndidi because, to be honest, if Ndidi's out for a while, I'm going to lose him. I'll just take him out because...
Especially with those fixtures, he looks like he could be movable to, say, a Rudiger or somebody, right?
Or Manchester United defender.
Sure, Luke Shaw, right?
There's plenty of potential out there at the moment with other sides that are doing well. So, fine. Glad I held Salah. Son was very much on the chopping board this week and remains on the chopping board until I have a set Harry's out for.
Who would you bring in? So, here's the question. We're all saying, a lot of the live chat are saying, all right, Son, I want rid. Who in, though? Because you're not looking at any premium, surely. There's no premiums to pick from, except for Salah's found a bit of form.
No, you're right.
Trossard. Come on. St. Maximin back to form. You've got your eyes on St. Maximin, yeah, I can
always,
tell.
I've always got my eyes on St. Maximin. Always got my eyes Come on St. Maximin. I blooming love him.
Who are you thinking?
Madison or Grealish?
Madison
now,
or Grealish?
The thing is, I can't quite bring myself to own Grealish. I'll tell you the person I am really genuinely thinking about bringing in at the moment is Ross Barkley.
Holy guff. Ross Barkley. Okay, interesting. Got the goal this week.
0.8% owned. I am in the Ross Barkley.
Differential
Bar-
time.
I'm in the Ross Barkley fan club at the minute. I think he's come back and made a big difference to Aston Villa.
West Ham at home next, Arsenal at home, Brighton away, Leicester at home, Leeds away. The fixtures look all right for Villa.
They look all right. They don't look brilliant, but they look all right. And they've been playing well. So, I don't know. Ross Barkley is definitely on my agenda. Fernandez, I don't even know what to say about him, but yeah, he's what he is. Captaincy blank.
You're not selling him ahead of those.
No. A green arrow with a captaincy blank always feels quite nice. I'm glad I held Bamford because... If I'm being really brutally honest, until Harry Kane's injury, until Harry Kane got injured on Thursday night, I was taking Bamford out for Dominic Calvert-Lewin this week because I was so annoyed.
Bamford is the difference between a green and a red arrow this week. There's no doubt about it. I've had a red, you've had a green. It's Bamford. He is the difference. And to be honest with you, I stand by my decision. I looked at all the stats. I weighed it all up. He's been absolute guff recently and he's just popped up with 15 points out of absolutely nowhere.
The other thing I will say is that we always swap places whenever you take a minus four.
Because I need to stop taking hits. My hits have not gone well this year.
Just
that is
stop
a fact.
Taking hits.
Yeah,
they
you're
cost
right.
you
you're
massively.
Right
the places are so tight. Every time I don't take a hit, I start the game week with a massive green arrow.
Yeah.
Stop hit.
So in a week or so, we could be talking about a complete role reversal from earlier on in the season where I had Grealish and you had Watkins. Because I'm considering Ollie Watkins.
Oh, shut up. If you're going to have a front line with Ollie Watkins and Shay Adams...
No, it will be Adams out.
No, it won't. It won't
Of course
be.
It will.
Course
He's absolute
won't.
Rubbish.
It will not. Because you love him. You won't take him out.
Not.
You're obsessed. You're obsessed with Shay Adams. He can't do any wrong in your eyes. You never take him out.
What are you talking about, Will?
Right, I guarantee...
Shay Adams is rubbish. And I've wanted rid of him for a week.
I tell you what will happen here. Lee won't take him out this week. Shay Adams will score a goal. And suddenly next week, he'll have a team that's got Antonio, Shay Adams and Watkins as its front three.
Shay Adams is so bad. And Southampton don't look great either, right? So another really exciting transfer
won't
I'm considering.
Take him out.
Another really exciting transfer I'm considering for this week is McCarthy out to a better goalkeeper.
No, I'm thinking about that.
Literally anyone, frankly, because they don't look great Saints at the minute. But he, in particular, looks absolutely awful. I can't believe he's still in my team.
You won't take him out.
Carlos E, thank you for the super chat. Should we consider Everton defender?
No.
Dina. Now, you're talking about Justin out. How are we feeling about Dina? Certainly no. not after this weekend, maybe going forward.
Their defensive stats are very poor, not through any fault of their own, but because Pickford is a liability. That guy has cost them clean sheets twice through errors in the last 4 days. I'm sorry, but Dina is a good player. There is absolutely no denying that. And he has great potential for attacking returns. But whilst Pickford is in goal, I will not touch an Everton defender.
There we go. Henry Sampson is saying, I'm part of the Adams Stubborn Club. I'm with you, Henry. He's just there festering away in the corner of my
you
bench.
Love him.
I just can't.
It's a secret love affair.
I've just got other things that I want to do, but I need to. Do you know the sad fact is?
I told you this about eight weeks ago.
I not gone on the FPL show and looked at those Bamford stats, which were on that big screen in front of me, and I'm looking at Bamford, and as I'm presenting the show, I'm thinking, yeah, Bamford's doing badly. Had I not been on the show, had you gone instead of me, I probably would have got rid of Adams and kept Bamford this week.
Oh, it's my fault.
It is your fault, Sam. You're absolutely right. So there we go.
I did tell you not to get Adams originally.
This is true. It's true. He's rubbish. 60 points this game week. 1307. So 61, 1307, an overrank of 75. Small green arrow, so that's all right. Move on. That's okay.
Yeah, it's like a 5k right. Green arrow. I take that.
That's all right. Well, there we go.
On a week where my captain blanks.
Yeah, well, there we go. So listen, lots to ponder, guys, and not long to ponder it over. We've got games again starting Tuesday. So the game week 22 deadline is Tuesday at what time? Like,
I mean, I guess it's
6 or something.
No, I think it's probably earlier than that. Because
go on, look it up for us.
It's
Tuesday, GMT, early evening, I would suggest.
The
something
first
like that.
Game is at 6, so it'll be 4.30.
4.30 p.m. GMT again. Deadline for game week 22, guys. So whatever you are planning to do, do it. Get on it quick. Because you need to do it and get it done before
particularly
Tuesday.
As everyone's going up tonight. Grealish, Martinez, Watkins.
Markets are going to be absolutely insane, no doubt about it. Is Watkins going up tonight?
Yeah.
Oh,
so is Grealish, so is Martinez.
Oh, what?
Who's going down? Let's see if Shadows is going down. Elgazi, Telles.
Duncan Crawford with the super chat. Should we just set and forget Martinez? That seems like a very reasonable thing to do,
I think
to
that's
be honest,
the boring thing that I'm going to do, to be honest.
Feels like a very reasonable thing to do. Well, there we go, guys. That is the end of this week's FPL family. Well done in game week 21 for all of you that did well in game week 21. And if you didn't, don't worry, move on. If you bought Dominic Calvert-Lewin in for Bamford, don't worry, he's going to score against Leeds and Bamford's going to blank. It's obviously in the stars, and Che Adams ain't going anywhere near my team for the foreseeable. You can subscribe to the podcast if you want to listen to the audio version of these live streams. So thank you to everyone that's listening to the podcast. We don't often say it. We do all these live streams because it's on YouTube.
Didn't say hello to the podcast.
We forget about the podcasters. So guys, if you're listening to us on Deezer, Spotify, Apple Music or SoundCloud or Acast or any of those particular podcasting platforms, then thank you very much for listening. Follow us on our socials. We're at FPL Family on Twitter, Instagram. Search for FPL Family.
Facebook.
Of course, on Facebook. Any shows or podcasts coming up this week,
you
Sam?
You are going to the show this week. Yet again, another late night for you. I don't like the late nights. I said late.
Going again for a late nighter on a Thursday.
What transfer will he make on Thursday night?
What will I come home really late and think, ooh, who's going to score big this week? Let's take him out.
So Lee's off to the...
Bruno out. Get him.
He's off to the show on Thursday and I will be on the official podcast at a reasonable hour on Wednesday morning.
Making sensible decisions that are not at 1.30 in the morning before the prices are about to change. Guys,
crazy boy.
Thank you very much for joining us. Leave us a like before you go if you've enjoyed the stream. I've loved doing the stream, so it's been good fun having you along. If you're new around here, obviously hit the subscribe button, hit that little notify bell as well. The numbers were pretty good tonight, Sam, so let's just check. 1,394 of you in, guys. So if every single one of you could hit that like button before you go,
I just want to see if I was crying.
We have a lot of likes. We have a lot of likes, guys. So if every one of you could leave us a like, that would be sensational. Until next time, this time next week, 8:30, where we'll be back looking at game week 22 as well as 23.
Oh, my Lord, will we?
Two game weeks are going to pass before we see you next, guys. So the world of FPL could look quite different.
We'll still own Che Adams this could time next week. I guarantee it.
I will still have Che Adams this time next week, probably, guys. See you soon. Cheers for joining.
Bye, guys.